Amen. I want you, if you will, if you have your Bibles this morning, to turn to Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 9, and Galatians chapter 2. I want to read one passage of Scripture from each one of those books. Matthew 10, we'll look at verse 38. I want to come to you with this thought this morning, coming to Jesus by the way of the cross. What next? Amen. Coming to Jesus by the way of the cross. What next? Amen. If you'll stand with me this morning. Amen. For the reading of these three passages of Scripture, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to see, amen, what God has for us this morning. I've had this thought in my spirit for about 3 weeks, and as I came back from camp meeting this week on Wednesday morning, I began to sit down and seek the Lord that He would open up what He wanted us to see this week and what He wanted to show us. And I knew that God was speaking. Amen. I came down to the church early this morning around 6 o'clock. Spent some time here praying and believing God, because I know the seriousness of what He wants to say to us this morning. Amen. Matthew 10, verse 38, the Bible says this. Amen. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I want to read it again. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Remember the thought of the message this morning. If you came to Jesus by the way of the cross, what next? Amen. He says here in this passage of Scripture, follow. If you don't follow after me, amen, you're not worthy of me. Now turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke 9 and verse 23. And he said unto them all, Jesus speaking here, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. You've come to Jesus and you're saved. What next? Amen. If any man will come after me, you've done that. Let him deny himself. Well, that's tough right there. That's what we're going to look at this morning, denying self. Now let's look at the book of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I want to read one passage of Scripture here. Verse 20, Paul speaking to the church of Galatia. Paul says this, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Paul recognized, amen, that he had to be crucified with his Christ. But he says he's yet still alive. He's living in this fleshly body. Amen. But now it's no longer Paul's life, but it's Christ's life. Amen. Bow your head. Stretch your hands this way. Pray for me this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, I've come this morning to deliver, Lord. God, what you've placed within my spirit, Lord. And God, I just ask you this morning, God, that you would help me, Lord. God, I don't want to say things, God, that man would say, but I want to speak, Lord, with the Spirit of God. Let me be the mouthpiece of you this morning, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would let every part of within myself die this morning that's not what you would have said. And Lord, let Christ within me live and speak to these precious people here this morning. And God, will give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. I bind every hindering spirit. I rebuke the devourer this morning, Lord. I release a supernatural anointing, God, to open up our ears, God. Lord, I pray that every thought that would be took captive by the Holy Ghost this morning, in Jesus' name, that our eyes and our ears would be focused upon you, Lord. Let your word be forever settled in our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with me this morning. I want to speak on this morning. What does it mean to come to Jesus by the way of the cross? Amen. I believe everybody here under the sound of my voice this morning knows what this means. Amen. As many of you know already, Jesus walked the earth. Amen. He taught his disciples and he healed. Amen. He healed the sick. Amen. He cast out devils. He was betrayed and he was crucified. Amen. He died on a cross and he emptied out paradise and he stopped stopped by Satan's house and he took the keys from him. Amen. And now we have the glory of God to look towards this morning. Amen. He took the keys from Satan. He was raised from the dead. On the third day, he defeated Satan, all of his imps, destroyed the law, brought on the dispensation of grace. The church was birthed. Amen. Every living soul now has an opportunity to come to Jesus by the way of this wonderful cross. Amen. But what now? What does it mean for you and me? Amen. As we've come to know Jesus as our Savior, what is the next step? I believe this is where, amen, many, many times the struggle begins and the difficulty begins. And I know by what the Spirit of the Lord has shown me over the last few weeks that this is the reason that many people don't make it. Amen. They come to the cross. Amen. But they never stay. They never stay in the church. They go back out into the world. Brother Michael, and I can tell you that the reason is many times is because when we come to this cross, we want to receive Jesus. We come knowing he was the Savior. We want to accept him. Amen. We want to accept his life, but we're never willing to put ourselves on that cross. Amen. Alongside of him and die a crucial death to this flesh. Amen. I want you to understand this morning, church, if you're going to live for Jesus, if you're going to walk with God, amen, you're going to have to be willing to die. If you're going to be everything that God has called and purposed you to be in your life, it's going to come as an ugly crucifixion death alongside of this Christ. Paul recognized that in the scripture that we read. He said, no longer I live, but Christ lives within me. Amen. We want to hold on to so many things when we come to Jesus. We want to come and get, receive from him, but we never are willing to lay down and give back. I come to serve notice on you this morning, church. If we're going to be what God desires us to be, we must be willing to put ourselves on that cross and die alongside of our Savior Jesus that died for us. Amen. I know this isn't popular preaching this morning. I appreciate what Brother Russell brought last week. We needed it, and I needed it. I'd much rather be preaching that to you this morning, but I know what the Holy Ghost has dealt with me about all week. I've had to live this thing, Brother Michael. I've had to walk this thing for the last 3 or 4 weeks in my life. I've come to realize that I ain't dead enough, brother. I gotta die to myself and my will if I'm gonna go on with God. I can't continue this walk. Amen. Unless I crucify my flesh, amen. And I believe the church needs to get to that place this morning. And in the scriptures that we read, or that we read this morning, we're dealing with the death of the cross. Amen. We all had our beginning in that first man, Adam. Through him, sin and death came upon the human race. Through one man's sin, we all became sinners. Amen. Do you realize that? Do you know that when Adam decided to take that fruit and to eat of that fruit, he opened up the relationship that he once had with God to walk in that garden, then became disruptive. Amen. Because he simply disobeyed God. And from that moment forward, there was a break in communion. Amen. With God and his people until Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Once that took place, he began to make a place where we can be reconciled again unto him. And it's his desire this morning to walk with you, to talk with you, to bless your life and to give you hope and strength and help. Amen. But at the same time, amen, he's expecting you to die this life that you desire so much to hold on to. All of us do. I desire, amen, things of the world and to live, amen, to the things that I love to do. And the whole time, Christ is telling me, you got to die to those things if you're going to move on with me. It's always been God's purpose to share his life with man. And that was the purpose that he had with Adam. Amen. That's why he created him, because he wanted to walk in the cool of the day with man. Amen. And to share his life with man. Did you know that God desires to share his life with you intimately? Amen. He desires to share his life with you and I. That's what he desires. Amen. That's why he created you. That's why he created me this morning. He wants us to have communion with him. That's what the cross did. It repaired what Adam did wrong. The cross repaired what Adam did wrong. In the cross, God liberated you and I from death, from sin, from the law, and from this flesh. Amen. That's what he did. But I can assure you of this. It's not an easy walk. It's not easy. It's not easy to live a crucified life. What God intends for you and I as believers is more than just a one-time experience of Calvary. It's a new life, and it's a new way of living. Amen. It's not just to come to an altar and to ask him to forgive you of sins and to go back away from that altar and to live a life of however you desire. That's not his intent. That's never what Jesus intended when he died. Amen. When he died on that cross and you came to him and you came to that cross, he asked you at that point, are you willing to die on this cross, your life now with me? Are you willing to lay down what your desires are, what your hope is, what your future is? For what I'm telling you, I can tell you there's a lot of people in this church that has died to what they wanted in their life. Brother Trevor, I know you're walking in that place right now. There's some things in your life that you're having to die of that you probably didn't think would happen 3 years ago. Amen. But you know what's happening? Amen. He's continuing to come back to that cross. He's laying that life down saying, God, it's not what I want. It's not what I desire. It's not even what I think my family wants, but it's what you want, God. I'm willing to lay it down this morning. I'm willing to die beside you, Jesus, to the things that I want, because God, I know if I'll die that death beside you, God, I'll be exactly where you desire for me to be. I can tell you, it takes a humble man, amen, to get up to that place. It's a hard thing to break that self. It's a hard thing to break my desires. I can tell you, I remember one time in Sunday school class, Monty asked about your spouse, what is it that you admire about them? I told my wife's a very selfless person. She always makes sure that all of our needs are met before she does her own. Well, I can tell you, Brother Michael, I'm the opposite of that. I always like self to be first. Yeah, I see some of you laughing out there. You might as well just join me this morning and say, yeah, that's me too, preacher. I'm all about self. Give me some self, amen. I can tell you, church, that's what every one of us is like when it comes to this cross. I don't want to die. I want to live. But Christ said, no, I want you to die so that you can live. Amen. So you can live into the things that I desire for you to live of. This flesh is strong. But God come to set us free from that. What God intends for you and I as believers is more than just a one-time experience of Calvary, as we said. He said this, old things shall be passed away and all things shall become new. Amen. That means that everything that I always was before the cross, now I've got a new sight. Amen. I'm out of sight and out of mind from the old things. That's what it's supposed to be. But you see, if that didn't happen to you, if you came to the cross before and you found yourself back out in the world, I can tell you what happened. You decided that you wanted to add God to everything that you already had. And God's not in the business of adding your junk to what he's got for you. You got to be willing to say, I come to you, Jesus. I want to die a death of my flesh today, and I want to get my eyes on what you have for me to do in the future. But that's where the problem comes in. You see, old things are supposed to be passed away, and behold, all things become new. But many times that's not the way it is. I want to come on to the cross. Take me as I am, God. No, that's not how it works. He's not going to take you. He will take you as you are. Amen. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But he's expecting you to lay that life down now for him in exchange for what he did for you on Calvary. That's where I have the issue at. I got a problem with that. Amen. I don't always like that. My flesh will rear up. My old man wants to come out of the grave, Brother Michael. He wants to live and say, no, sir, I don't want to die. I don't want to die to those things. And Jesus is saying, but son, if you'll just come on, take a step towards me and look at the glory, take another glimpse of what I have for you, then that step gets a little bit easier to take. Amen. And that flesh is crying. He's whining the whole time. No, don't go that way. I want you to live for me. No, I can't do that. That old man's dead. I got to live for God. That first scripture we read in Matthew 10:38, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow him. You see, when we begin to do that, we'll have different values in our life when we truly do that. We'll have different morals in our life when we do that. Can I tell you that's why the world's in the mess that it's in, church? Because the cross doesn't mean anything to the world. It doesn't mean a whole lot to a lot of Christians either, except for a way to heaven to escape some, to get good fire insurance. That's really all people want to use it for. Lord, just let me get, I don't really want to do everything, God, that you want me to do. I just don't want to go to hell, and I just want a little insurance to make sure I'm all right. We ain't shouting a lot this morning, and I knew we wouldn't, but that's all right. But listen to me. It's more than just fire insurance, church. There's a relationship. There's a world that's lost out there that's dying and going to hell because the church isn't willing to die and pay the price for them not to go to hell. We just want to join with them. We want to be a part of them. We want to add the world to our Jesus, and Jesus don't operate that way. Jesus operates in a totally different way. He said, no, you're not going to come and bring that junk to me. I want you to bring it to me. I'm going to let you, I'm going to take it from you. But when you get up from here, you're going to be a new man. You're going to be a new creature. You're going to be a dead man. And now I'm going to live through you. And when Christ begins to live through us, then we'll change this world. We'll have different morals. The church will have a different moral. Amen. The world has got one set of morals, and the church should have a complete different one. Things that are important to the world shouldn't be important to you and I anymore. Everything that should be important to us is through His Word and through Him. Our goals will be different. Our purposes in life will be different. This is what sets you and I apart from the world. This is what sets you and I apart from so-called Christians. When this thing gets in us and begins to change us, and we begin to die of who we are. Most people have it wrong. When you come to the cross, the real cross, if you didn't know this already, you soon found out, if you got very close to Jesus, that your purpose was to die. Your purpose was to die. You see, you receive everlasting life. Absolutely. Jesus' plan is great. And the benefits are out of this world. Isn't that right? His plan's great. The benefits are out of this world. You see, everlasting life is what we all desire to have with Him. The way we're going to get that is we're going to begin a death. We're going to begin to die at that place of Calvary. This cross of Calvary is not a one-time event. It's a continuation. Every day that we live, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to pick up that cross. That cross is heavy. That cross is hard to tote. That cross is aggravating sometimes. Sometimes we need people to come along and help us tote our cross, don't we? Jesus had to have somebody help him tote his cross. We can't leave this cross behind. Once we leave this cross behind, then we begin to die a death spiritually. You see, you're going to die one or two deaths. It's going to be a spiritual death, or either it's going to be a death of our flesh. That's what the cross is all about. This cross is important. We can't ever forget the cross. Most people have it wrong about the cross. We'd much rather know... When we come to God, what can we get rather than to find out what can we become for Him? See, we come to the cross. Man, I'm a sinner. I'm as rank as they come. I've got a drug addiction. I've got every problem that a man can have. And I know that preacher's going to tell me that everything, I'm delivered at that cross. Absolutely, you are. You better believe it. I've been there before. I know it's true. Amen. I know what I was when I was sitting on a church pew on a Sunday night, a rank sinner lost, going to hell, and the Holy Ghost got on my heart, and I went to an altar to that cross and laid my life down. I know what it was all about to be in that place. Amen. Jesus did all of those things. And it is what He can do for us. But guess what? He's immediately going to turn around and say, now you get up there on that cross and you die. and ask me what I want from you from this moment forward. And that's where the issue begins to take root in our life. And we begin to have a problem. Say, I don't know about all that. I didn't come for all that. Listen, if you didn't come for all that, then I don't wonder, are you really walking and serving Jesus? Because that's what he asked us to do. I know this isn't popular, but I know that this is what Jesus says in his word. You can't argue what the scriptures that I read with you this morning, church. Jesus is requiring us to die. If this church is going to move forward and be everything that God wants us to be, then it requires more than just the preachers, the leadership, the teachers to die. The church has got to follow in this same place, amen. We all got to be willing, Brother Justin, to lay our life down on that cross beside Jesus. My heart today, and I believe this is Jesus' heart also, is not to see how many that we can get to come to the cross, but how many are willing to get on the cross with him this morning and die to self. How many this morning? I'm not interested to see how many we can get to come to the cross necessarily. I know that's important, but it's not going to do any good, Brother Russell, if people just come to the cross and then they get up and leave. I've seen that 100,000 times. That doesn't change anything. You'll be right back out there in the world like you was before you ever came. All you did was come to the altar and cry a few tears, and you were emotionally hoping to get a little help about the way you felt because you're sorry about what we did. But I'm talking about dying this morning on the cross alongside of Christ. That's a different story altogether. If you're really seeking God and you're really trying to go somewhere with him, that's what you got to be willing to do. You say, preacher, I don't know if I'm willing to do that or not. You've got to be willing to do. You don't have no choice. Your life is not yours any longer. We got to become like Paul said. My life is no longer my life. My flesh must die so that I can live and he can live through me. I want you to look with me now in the book of Romans chapter 6. I believe there's a truth here that's going to help us this morning. Romans chapter number 6. Many times in our walk with God, we still try to get victory or deliverance over things through self. You understand that? I mean, there's nobody in here that don't think that you can't be a better person. But that's where we mess up at. We're relying on self to be a better person. You know how many times I tried to go to church before I really got saved? And say, okay, I'm just going to come to church and everything's going to begin to be all right because I'm going to make it be all right. But guess what? When I left, I was the same mess I was when I came because I never let Jesus do it in me. I was trying to do it through myself. We got to get self out of the way. But here in these verses, God tells us the key is living unto God. Let's look at verse 10. For in that he died... He died unto sin once, but in that he lives, and he lives unto God. Brother Michael, when we die unto sin once. After that, what does it say? You got to live unto God. They don't have nothing about me in there, Brother Buck. Nothing about I, nothing about self. You got to live unto God. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but then what does he say immediately after that? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many times we just try the being dead to sin part. I'm going to go to the altar, I'm going to get saved, I'm going to die to my sin. And I'm still self. And we never get to the unto God part. But this is in vain. We must be alive unto God. Verse 13 calls us to be instruments unto God. What is an instrument? An instrument is a device that is used to make something, amen, for God. That's what he's talking about here. When you come and you die on the cross beside of Jesus and you die to your sin unto God and you get self out of the way, guess what? You become an instrument now that God can put his fingers on. Amen. He can begin to use you for something that he desired. I can tell you every person that's in here under the sound of my voice, you were created for a purpose for Jesus Christ. Amen. You weren't just here because of the mistakes you made. You You aren't just here to have a family and to live, but God Almighty Himself has His finger on you. He created you. He's got a desire, a purpose for you, and He's trying to move you forward into that. But you'll never get there, amen, as long as self is in the way. But if you'll say, Jesus, I get on that cross with you this morning and I crucify my flesh, I'm going to die daily. I can tell you, you can die today, but tomorrow that flesh is wanting to live again. You better crucify Him again. Put Him back in that grave. Don't you let Him live. Don't you let Him breathe. Don't you even let Him look up. Amen. You keep your foot on Him and keep Him down, and then you'll move forward with God Almighty and what He desires for you to be in His life. Hallelujah. The purpose of me dying on the cross with Jesus is through that death, the cross will change my self-centered heart and my purpose of living, bringing me, my life, to Jesus and His ultimate purpose for my life. Amen. Jesus has a purpose for your life and for mine. We got to get to the place where we can find out what that is. Jesus said, seek me first and all other things will be added to you. See, when we die beside Him on that cross, then we begin to seek Him first. And Jesus begins to add to us. I'm not telling you this morning that you've got to have a miserable life. I wouldn't trade this life with Christ for nothing that I've ever experienced before. It's okay. My flesh may not like to die daily, but it's all right. Amen? There's just things in this world that just have to be all right. You know, He never promised us a bed of roses. Everything may not be perfect, but if my walk with Him's where He wants it to be, then guess what? He's going to make sure that everything else lines up in order. He wants to bless His people. His desire is to bless you and I this morning. His desire is to pour out His love and His grace on us. I'm not telling you some gospel that's not real. I'm telling you that Jesus desires to bless you. But I also know He desires us to die a death on that cross with Him. If you have struggled all your life to live for God, you keep coming up short, maybe this is the very moment that you can realize that you've got to be alive unto God and die of self. And that door is going to swing open wide this morning in these altars for God to give you victory and deliverance over the same bondages that you've always failed to. Why? Because I realized this morning that I've got to get up here on this cross and die, and I'm going to live unto God. Now, my life no longer matters. You see, I'm telling you, this. I've never seen this so clearly until I studied this week. Why so many people fail when they come to the altar. They come to this altar and they never die of their self. They just want to add Jesus to everything else. It does not work that way. This cross requires death. And if we're going to get full deliverance from what God desires us to be delivered of, if our flesh is going to be delivered, then it's got to be because we died and we're not going to look for anything else. God, I'm not asking you to give me anything. God, you don't have to get me out of this mess I've created. God, you don't have to do anything for me. I'm not coming asking. You did it all. You died on Calvary. Now I'm going to die with you, and now I'm going to look unto you and ask you, what can I benefit you for, God? And once we do that, those problems that's always held us back will no longer hold us back any longer. You'll be free from that. You'll be delivered from that. The moment the blood hits it, because it's gone now, I'm not looking for Jesus to do anything for me. I'm not requiring Him to do anything. He did it on Calvary. And now I'm set free from my bondages. That's when true repentance comes, church. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that's why a man can get delivered from drugs and alcohol, Brother Chris. You know why? Because you don't want that life anymore. And you realize, I've got to die to that life. I've got to die to everything in myself that's keeping me. That night that I went to the altar, a drug addict, I had enough stuff in my house before we went to church that night that I had to go back and throw in the garbage. I'd have went to jail for it. Somebody would have come and found it. But I can tell you, that night when I got serious with God at that altar, and I got up there, I wasn't asking for God for nothing. But God, take my life. I'm a miserable mess and I can't help myself. I don't know how to help myself, God. I've done everything within self to get me to the place, God, to get me out of it. And none of it's worked. It's all failed. It's failure. But today, God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to die on this cross with you. Church, when we make up our minds, oh, I'm telling you, God, He'll come through. The blood's got the power to do it. Amen. But there's a lot of it that weighs on us. Jesus isn't just going to take it all from you if you don't want Him to. You come up here to the same, and you want to hold on to that same garbage you've always held on to, guess what? There ain't enough preachers in this world to lay hands on you and anoint it out of you. You're going to take it right back out the door with you. But when you get to the place where you say, I'm sick of that. I want to lay it down. God, I'll die on that cross. I don't want nothing in return. Just set me free of my lifestyle. It's over with. I don't want it no more. And then the blood will rush in and it'll cover your sins and you'll walk out of this place a free man. I believe it's that simple this morning. Live to God. Amen. Surrender your life, your will, your pride, your arrogance, your selfishness. Boy, isn't that those are some tough words right there to a good-looking Sunday crowd like this, but we all got every one of them. It's in every one of us, church. It's in, amen. Lift your hands and your feet. I like that. Hallelujah. I can tell you, my God knows. He knows it's in us. But we got to be willing to die today. If we'll die today, we'll live tomorrow. Not only will we live tomorrow, we'll live a life in eternity with Him. Amen. But if you're willing to live here on this earth for what you want, He'll let you continue to live right here on this earth for what you want. Amen. It'll never happen. You'll never get freedom and deliverance coming this way to the cross. What can I get from Jesus today? You'll never get your freedom. You'll never get delivered if you come with that attitude. What's Jesus going to give me today when I go to that? He's not going to offer you anything but death. That's what He's going to offer us, death. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to die? You can live eternal. Your soul will be forever saved, but you've got to be willing to die. Satan is still offering a substitute tree of life. That garden experience today, that new cross, this teaching says, come and get. That's what the high-rolling churches and the preachers will tell you now. Come and get. We got something to offer you. Jesus has got something to offer you. That's what the new cross represents. That new cross, but that old cross, that old rugged cross, it still offers the same thing that it's always offered. Come and die. Wow, come and die, that's it? Come and die that you might live. Amen. Come and die that you might live. That old cross says, come and give. That new cross says, come and get. That old cross says, come and give. What do you mean, come and give? You come and die. Now you go back and you give what Jesus has put in you to a world that's lost. Amen. You see, the old cross was meant by God to be the symbol of death and that old life. You're not going to add God to your cross. I've already said that. Or to what you have. Not at all. You're not going to add God to this cross. Amen. No longer will you lead your own life. The cross will never offer you anything other than eternal life and a worldly death. You see, we live in a world today, I like to call it a microwavable world. You see, when you come to Jesus, you come now to die, but you're living for eternity, right? You see, if we could just get this in our mind, that we're just here. I mean, how many of you have known somebody that died? I think we all know somebody. I mean, I'm talking about real death, like died. You see, it's appointed unto man once to die. When you was born, when I was born, our eternal clock began to tick. You turn the hourglass over like sands through the hourglass. Eternity's closer every moment. Each one of you here, everybody under the sound of my voice, that's where we all can classify ourselves this morning. So your life on this earth is limited, but eternity is forever. Who cares if you got to die for 30 years or 40 years or 80 years or however long? Does it really matter in the end? What matters in the end is that we're going to receive a crown of life, Brother Mike, and we're going to live forever with Jesus. But we live in a microwavable world where we want to go up to McDonald's and expect it in 2 minutes. We want to expect everything to come right down the pipe as soon as we want it. We don't have time to wait. Ain't got time. All I can think about is my 401k, my retirement, my Blue Cross, my this and my that. All I want to know is how much money I can make because I want a new bass boat, a deep sea fishing boat. Ain't nothing wrong with none of that. I desire all those things too, but I know it's in God's timing, amen. But what really matters is eternity. Where am I going to spend the rest of my life? Am I going to live for God, amen, on this earth and let those things die in me? Or am I going to live eternal life in hell? It's still as real today as it's ever been. Luke 9:23 said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. I want to break this down for just a moment. If any man will come after me, how many of you in here will just be honest this morning and say, I've truly sold out to God and I'm living for God? I ain't going to even look. I just want you to say, I'm living for God. If that's you this morning, you said, you fulfilled the first part of that scripture. If any man will come after me, you've bought into this thing. You've sold out. I'm believing God. The next part, let him, her, deny their self. What do you do after the cross? Deny yourself. What's next, Jesus? Maybe you've been serving God 20 years and you've never heard anything like this. That doesn't matter. Them 20 years is gone. You can't get them back. What next, preacher? Die to yourself. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! That's just the bottom line, church. I mean, I don't know how to say it any other way except the way the Holy Ghost showed it to me. I've been living this for 3 weeks, I promise you, before I can get it out to you. Just die to yourself. What? Say that again. He still hadn't. I've been asking him every day, Lord, did you really mean that? Yeah, die to yourself. What about today, Lord? I'm getting up. It's a new day this morning. Today's Sunday. I'm going to the house of God. What can I do today, Jesus? Die. If any man will come after me, let him die to their self. Everything that I want, everything I think is important, lay it down. Take up your cross daily. On Sunday? Is that what he said? Take up your cross on Sunday. Daily, every single day, when I get out of the bed, my feet hit that floor. Responsibility falls right here. You can't do it for me. Leah can't do it for me. Seth can't do it for me. Laney can't do it for me. My feet hit the bed. Now the responsibility herein is on this one. Die daily. Marwan Beam said, y'all have heard this Jared tell the story. People laughed. I'm not going to try to tell it because I'll get it wrong, but people was trying to kill him. They missed several times, tried to kill that man from Israel. And he finally sent them a letter out, said, you can't kill a dead man. You know what he realized? His life didn't matter anymore. He was already dead. He had died to Christ. That's where we got to get, church, where everything is not important. That death, I'm a dead man, as Paul said, crucified my flesh so that I can be what God desires. He said to follow after me. You see, he'll lead us, but we must die. In my weakness, he is made strong. My flesh wants to rule. You know, I had a situation come up while I was out in Texas with a family member. Very, very hurtful situation. Boy, I wanted to so react and tell everybody just how I felt. But coming back, me and Brother Jason, I was praying. I got home, and I began to seek the Lord. And I got on my face and I cried and I prayed and I cried and I prayed for my babies. And I cried some more and I prayed some more. And I said, God, what you want me to do? You know what he said? He said, I want you to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I said, but that ain't what I want to do. I got a right to tell them just how I feel. And he said, go ahead and kill them. He said, you love them, and I'll do the rest. Boy, you talk about hard. But I had to sit there and love and do what the Holy Ghost told me to do as much as I didn't want to. But I know that if I'm going to win them, Shane, it's going to be because I love them like Jesus loves them. I didn't support what they were doing, and I let them know that out of love. Boy, John Wayne, God's taught me a lot. Because my wife can tell you I've reacted in my flesh so many times. I don't know that I can sit here and probably tell you, I don't know that my children have ever heard me cuss at my wife or nothing like that, but I can guarantee you they've seen me not walk in the Spirit. They've seen me be ugly and lash out, say things that I shouldn't say. I regret that. I can't take it back. But I thank God for prayer and the Holy Ghost saying, son, you better walk in the Spirit so that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I can tell you, when I got out of that, I felt the most liberty I've ever felt in any situation I've ever dealt with my children. And I just began to cry. And I can tell you, during prayer that morning, I was praying and I was asking God to help me. And the Holy Ghost reminded me in prayer. He said, every situation that the devil's ever brought into your family or your life, have I not gave you victory over? Boy, I had to sit there and think about that. And I thought, man, God, that's true. A lot of it was my own doings, my own flesh. But God, I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, I began to laugh at the devil, and I said, devil, this, you better enjoy this, because this is just temporary. My God's about to do something. He's about to do something. I'm going to see a miracle. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. Jesus always wins. So I began to laugh at the devil in prayer. I've never done that before. And I can tell you about 5 hours after that, here come another storm rolling in. The devil said, well, I can't get you that way. Let me try another way. I said, come on, devil. I'm ready to fight you with two fists. You ain't going to win. Amen. Take up that cross daily. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. If we're going to do this, we must utilize the resources that He's provided us. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, prayer, and the church. Do you know there's great benefits to the church? To being in the church? To being with people that love you, care about you? For being here for the Word of God, the truth of the Word. Man, when you come to this place, you may not get a whole lot, but you're going to get the truth of the Word. Somebody's going to bring the Word here. And how many times have you been sitting here and that Word bring exactly what you needed? Say, man, I needed that today. I needed that. Now I know what I got to do. I know I can go forward and take care of business because the Word. I can tell you, you can't do without the church. People will tell you, oh, I get all the church I want on TV at home. You ain't going to get what you're going to get here. Plus, you're not going to be able to give what God created you to give. You've got a portion that God wants you to bring to the house of God. You see, it would have been easy to walk in the works of the flesh, and many of you here may be battling some of these things. Jealousy. I'm not going to name a bunch of them, but these are just church people go through these things. Jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness, backbiting, slandering, sowing discord among the brethren. That's what we do, church folks. We save, but we do all of them works of the flesh, but we don't like to talk about that. Jesus said, let's walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That flesh man will always try to come up again. I can tell you one thing, we have to deny self. But guess what? You get up in the morning, self's going to be there. You get up next Sunday morning, self's still there. And you got saved, the next day self was still there. There's one person you can't run away from, that's self. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. But I promise you, self's going to be right there too. And he's going to work against what the Holy Ghost wants because he wants to live. How many of you like self likes to live? Yeah, self likes to live. He don't like to die. But Jesus is telling us today, we got to die. Self will always be there. You understand what I'm saying? All we can do is deny him, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Amen. The scripture we read in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified. We've been talking about dying today. Paul had a great revelation here. Amen. Crucify. That word crucify means to extinguish selfishness. Extinguish selfishness. My will dies. I feel like that in my spirit today, somebody's fighting this, that you've got that old man that's been trying to creep in and live, and Jesus has been putting his finger on things in your life, telling you, you can't let that live. That'll bring you back to that old person. And I believe the Lord has told me this morning to make sure I let you know, everybody under the sound of my voice today, amen, that is the Holy Ghost that's put his finger there. Don't you listen to that self man that says it's all right to let him live. It's all right to go back and do that. It's all right to watch that porn. It's all right to do this. It's all right. No, it's not. If the Holy Ghost is dealing with you about it, he's got a purpose for it, amen. He wants you to lay it down and die of that so he can bring you true freedom and liberty from it. Self will always try to bring you back to that place. Crucify means to die, amen. Someone in this church, God desires to touch you this morning in a special way. Amen. We got to get finished up here. Russell sent me all these notes. I paid $99.99 a month for these, and I can't get them all in. Don't send me so many next time. Amen. The power of the cross is realized in this manner. This morning, I hope that I've done my best to bring this to you that you can understand it. When the cross ceases to become external and becomes operative within the believer's heart, we have then entered into the new way of the cross. I want to say that again. When the cross ceases to become external only and becomes operative within me as a believer, I have then entered into the way that Jesus purposed this cross all the time. If his death never gets control over me, neither will his resurrection power flow through me. That's why you see so many stagnant Christians in the church. The death of the cross never got a hold of them. So the resurrection, listen, if there's going to be a resurrection, there's first got to be a death. There's got to be a death, and then there'll be a resurrection. Then Christ will live, and he'll operate through you and I to a magnitude that we've never seen before. His power will begin to flow through me. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Watch this now. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that has raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Amen. And in me. Amen. Brother Seth, come on. I'm fixing to close this thing up. When I die, Jesus lives big. And he gets bigger with each time there's a death in me. The more that I die, the bigger my Jesus gets. You want to see more Jesus in your life? Die to self a little bit more. Ooh, that's hard, hard, hard. But that's what the purpose of this cross was the whole time. The whole time. God does not exist for you. You exist for God. Did you hear what I said? God doesn't exist for you. You exist for God. He desires to live through you and I in a greater measure than ever before. Stand with me this morning.